Our sermon today picks up from where we heard the elder reading from Matthew chapter 24. This is verses 36 to 44. But about that day and hour no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away, so too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be left in the field, one will be taken and one be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, and one will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day, what hour your Lord is coming. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. Dear God, for all your blessings, we give you thanks. So yeah, I was kind of bummed and about and reluctantly resigned to the fact that I didn't come up with a word for 2024. Frankly, I wasn't sure how effective the word of the year has been. Even I forget what they were. Do you remember any of them? Last year, enough, that's right. And the year before, it was dare, yeah. So as 2023 came to a close, I waited and searched for the 2024 word, but nothing was coming to me. So I thought I'd just forget this tradition in the making. And then the Holy Spirit pulled through just as always. And what word did I receive? The word ready. Ready for what? I don't know. I only got the word. It's up to us to discern what it's supposed to mean for us. 2024 is going to be a pivotal year. There's going to be the Olympics in Paris. There's going to be a presidential election. It will be the start of the second year of the war in Ukraine. I'm going to hit the big 6-5. Everything going on is already causing some high anxiety. And we are all wondering what's going to happen next. Some people are even asking, is this the start of the end of the world? It's a universal concern. One even Jesus' disciples were worried about. And so they went right to the source, to the one who might be able to tell them when it was going to happen. Seems as if Jesus was speaking directly to us today. We've seen wars and heard rumors of wars. There have been earthquakes in all different kinds of places, not to mention volcanoes and tornadoes and floods and droughts and all the other things climate change brings. Is this the year? Is 2024 going to be the year when Jesus finally returns? We don't know. Even Jesus doesn't know. Now, that's a weird thing for Jesus to say, that no one knows when the end will be. Only the Father God, not the angels, not Jesus the Son. How can that be? Aren't Jesus and God and the Spirit one? Don't they share what we would call a mind? How can Jesus not know something God knows? The answer I found during my study of this passage, and one that works for me, is this. Jesus was with the disciples in his human form. And in his human incarnation, he didn't know everything. On earth, he emptied himself of his special knowledge and accepted the limitations of his human form. When Jesus was in his human form, God could keep some information from him. Knowing the date of his return would be too much for a human to handle. Would you even want to have that kind of knowledge? To know the date when this world ends? But here's the thing, God doesn't have a calendar. God is not confined to set and certain days of the year, to blocks of months and weeks as we are. God's time is eternal. Rather than picking a day, God will pick a time, the right time, the perfect time, when all things are in sync with God's own will. There is nothing we can do to make God speed up the time frame. We cannot make Christ come any sooner than God has ordained for him to come. Nothing we can do will speed him up. God will not be rushed. The only thing we can do is follow Jesus' advice. We must be ready. So what does it mean to be ready? It's not like when we're under a fire alert where we have time to pack a suitcase, gather up important papers, and have our car ready to go at a moment's notice. When the McBride fire happened and the sheriff knocked on my door and said, "Get ready to leave in 15 minutes, I stood in my living room and looked around and thought, what do I take? Pictures? The TV? Books? In the end, I packed a small suitcase with some clothes and grabbed my laptop, my lockbox with my birth certificate and car title, my folder with my house information, and Winston. All the important stuff. But when Jesus returns, we won't need to take anything with us. We won't need any of the trappings and treasures of this world. We just won't need them anymore. So if we don't have to pack, how do we get ready? I think when Jesus said be ready, he meant for us to be always on guard, always watching for him to return. Elsewhere in the Bible, we're told Jesus will come back like a thief in the night. He'll sneak in and catch us unawares. I think what Jesus means by being ready is for us to do things that we would not be ashamed for Jesus to find us doing upon his return. It's like when you were in school and the teacher leaves the room for a minute to go to the office. Some kids, like me, would stay in their seats and work or read while waiting for the teacher to come back. Other kids would get up and start cutting up, drawing on the blackboard, throwing things across the room, maybe even trying to climb out the window. And then the teacher comes back. It does not end well for the kids who decide to act up. I remember a story about a time in early American history when a mysterious dark cloud came over New England, blocking out the sun, frightening people to death, making them think, oh no, it's the end. Actually, what had happened was there was a massive fire in Canada, and the cloud was the smoke from the fire. People didn't find that out too much later. But there was one statesman who stood up during a legislative session when this darkness happened, and he stood up in the midst of everyone else's panic and said, if this is the time when the Lord comes back, I want him to find me doing my work. So he convinced everyone to calm down and get back to work. That is what Jesus means by being ready. He doesn't want us obsessing over something we don't know and can't know, what day will be the last, trying to predict something we can never predict. But he wants us to acknowledge it is coming, and we will be looking for it. He spoke about the time of Noah when people were going about their normal business, la-di-da, even though Noah was building the ark right in front of them, even though Noah kept warning, yo, it's going to rain and it's going to be a flood and this ark I'm building will be the only refuge. Come aboard, be ready. But they had other things to do, everyday life things. It wasn't so much a debauched way of living, it's just ordinary. And then the flood came and swept them all away. Perhaps Jesus is saying people will get complacent toward the end of days. It's been so long and nothing's happened. Jesus still hasn't come back. Maybe he isn't coming back. So let's just forget about it and live our lives. But that's not the way Jesus wants us to behave. The other example Jesus gives us of men working in a field together and women grinding grain together makes us pause for a second. One person is taken and the other is left. Where did they go? The common consensus is that the one who's taken went to heaven, but that's just our assumption. We don't really know. Jesus doesn't say whether it's better to be the one left or the one taken. The word translated left can also mean forgiven or released. With the women, if one is swept away, the other is unable to finish her work because grinding grain was a two-person job. Does it mean the work is over? Or does it mean we have to keep working together as long as we can? Does it mean we have to realize how much we are really dependent on one another? So how do we get ready? We can't go back to not knowing Jesus is coming. We can't be like the people in Noah's day, just focusing on what we want and what we need to do. Part of getting ready is the knowing and the not panicking. It's the paying attention to what we do and what's going on around us. It's the sharing with others about the future. Of course, there will be plenty of people who won't believe us when we say there is a day coming, people who will think we're daft, living a fairy tale existence. Part of being ready is showing them that this prediction, this warning is true. It is going to happen. There are some people we'll never convince about the existence of God and God's plan for this world we now live in. I'm not so sure we're called to beat them over the heads with our Bibles and make them submit and admit, yes, Jesus is coming someday. We have to be ready to stand our ground and keep our faith. And as St. Peter says elsewhere, always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that is in you. Martin Luther was supposed to have said, we should be living as if Jesus had died this morning, risen this afternoon, and was coming this evening. So we need to be spiritually ready. We need to act differently, doing as much good as we can, continuing to do the things Jesus taught us to do, teaching and touching, healing and hearing and helping, being as faithful as we can be and striving to be ever more faithful, even in the face of all the disasters and tragedies happening right around us, being in a state of pleasant anticipation with an attitude of expectation. Because there's nothing to be afraid of about the end of the age, not if you have placed your faith in Christ and are trying to follow God's will and God's ways. Because it's not the end. It's just the beginning of a time that will never end. Let us pray. God, as we wait and anticipate, make our hearts ready to shine your light in this world. Don't let fear of the future hold us back, because we know you hold the future. We give you all our days in 2024, and we ask you to help us be faithful and steadfast and ready for whatever the year will bring. For we know we walk through these days with you and with Christ, our risen, returning Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen.
As he leads me.